This episode is sponsored by Vera. The world needs more data superheroes. Vera empowers you to be the data superhero with superhuman abilities to work data the way that is faster and easier and more fun than what you're doing today. It's the easiest self-serve data prep to access, transform, and analyze. And it just got even better with Vera 5.0. Vera 5.0 makes it easier than ever to defeat villains in your data prep process and realize your inner data superhero with a redesigned user experience, new functional nodes, and faster technology. You know the challenges? 80% of your work along the way to producing those beautiful visualizations and reports is fighting multiple places of data and multiple different formats. Cleaning, deduping, transforming that data for analysis, and easily scheduling the delivery of the information. Make sure to check out the very cool The World Needs More Data Superheroes video trailer at getvera.com and give them a shout out for your very own trial version or personalized demo. Welcome back to your favorite podcast about data, data science, and general geekery, which we never do general geekery. It's always
I think it's always general geekery. What?
Okay. Yay!
We like ooze general geekery. That's what we do. And then there's some data and drinking thrown into the mix.
All right, fine.
Like my we're name... cool, you think? Sorry. Come on.
Intro, damn it.
Right. What's your name?
My name is Chris Albin, the coolest person on this podcast.
What? My name is Vidya, the really, actually, in real life. Maybe you're the coolest person on the podcast, but I'm probably the cooler person in real life.
Not sure about that. Anyway, as we always do, we are going to talk about what we are drinking. Vid, what are you drinking?
I am drinking tea today, but it is not any old average tea. It is called Wayusa, which is from the Amazon rainforest. It is kind of amazing. So amazing that the people, I think the indigenous tribes there are called the Kichwa people, and they believe that you get dreams that foretell whether hunting expeditions will be successful or not. So that is what I'm expecting and hoping.
How well do you think this podcast is going to go?
What?
That's a hunting expedition.
Oh, I was like, wait, what? I don't put hunting and podcasting in the same category, my friend. Do you?
I mean, it's the closest thing I got to hunting.
Well, I saw deer in my front yard today.
That's
I wasn't going to hunt them, though, but maybe it's like deer hunting with my camera.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. What are you drinking?
I am also drinking tea from the Quechua people. Oh, no, sorry. It's from Lipton. Oh, sorry. I don't know. I'm still on my not having calories in the day.
Nice.
Kind of idea. So I'm doing tea, although I've been drinking like more at night. So I'm not sure that balances out in like the most appropriate way.
Well, actually, wouldn't you want to have more calories during the day because that's when you're burning them off, and then at night you're just like sleeping?
Honestly, anytime you like try to find anything diet related on the internet, you get like these preposterous things. So I have no idea what to believe. I figured eating less is probably better. So thus, right. I'm reducing the amount of eating.
And you're back to your running. You're like long, lonesome runs on those highways.
I mean, I've been trying to go back to, but the problem is we're in this like heat wave in Arizona. So like it's like 107 right now.
So you just need one of those hats that have like a built-in Mr. Fan.
No, I'm not. I am the coolest person of this podcast. Oh,
right.
The coolest person of this podcast would have a hat with a Mr. Fan on it.
Well, it is general geekery after all.
All right. Okay. So the first story is mine. We're going to do. And then we'll move on to the lesser cool story.
We'll let the audience be the judge of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. So this story comes from the person who is like quickly becoming this podcast's favorite source of stories, mm-hmm. despite having the fact that I have never actually talked to her in any way. Her name is Janelle Shane, and she's a research scientist, expert, blah, blah, something, something, but nobody really cares about that. What I really care about is she does amazing stuff with neural networks. Just
I know.
It's like if it was made for this podcast.
It is. I totally agree. I think we need to have her on the show, actually.
I think so, because like every single week I go out and I'm like looking for interesting stories and that kind of stuff, and there's all these things about, oh, there's this, you know, new data for my guys with probabilistic, you know, inference, see, don't you see? And I'm like, well, that's interesting to me from like a really strong professional world, but I don't want to talk about that for an hour.
Right.
I want to talk about the really cool stuff. So for example, on this podcast we've talked about the neural networks she used to create new recipes. For example, these are my two favorite. So she trained a neural network on recipes to create new recipes. Here we go. Cabbage pot cookies.
Yes. So, cabbage.
Which is amazing.
Wait. So I don't want to get distracted. It's like actual cabbage and actual pot.
I don't know what the pot part of it was, because I didn't see the whole recipe pot. But like in my head, it's cabbage and then it's pot, like pot. Yes. And then they're in cookie format because like that's the thing.
So
and
gross.
Then the best one ever, because this is where you realize that the neural networks like aren't alive and you don't really have to worry about AI like murdering you for a while, is crockpot cold water, which it's so good. Crockpot cold water. I mean, come on. What is crockpot cold water? That's just cold water in a crockpot, guys. You don't even turn on the crockpot. You like have an unplugged crockpot.
Step one.
You put water in it. And then you're like, boom, nailed it. Move aside, Rick Bayless or whatever that guy's name is.
Yeah, Rick Bayless. Jeez. That's amazing. Anyway. You know what, though? I think that this whole like naming thing is really where like the genius of these neural networks are.
I agree. I think what it's so good about it is that it's like, it has this like, it's the moment that you realize that neural networks like are just like really smart and really dumb. Like, you know, like ways that like really clever at the same time. They just like, your human brain is so much more powerful in various ways. But so, okay, this is the other one they have. We also talked about the neural network she used to create paint colors, which
yes.
I remember very, very vividly, my two favorite ones in this one was Stanky Bean, which is...
It's really like, actually, I almost feel like I can see a color almost, but I can't... I can't quite describe it.
Stanky Bean absolutely is like a brownish red, kind of like an adobe, but like it has this glaze of green over it, you know, like a glaze.
Gross.
Of
like,
as come on. That would
Yeah. Actually, I don't disagree. I think that there's, I'm not sure about the green. I think that just takes it like, I guess it's not really Stanky Bean.
No, I mean, it's Stanky Beans. So you have like sort of like poop and then beans, and then they're stanky. So you have like a greenish glaze, like just so there's like a green coming off of it.
Oh God, I swear, I think that neural networks are there like for a human inspiration. Like, you should go create this color now.
Yeah. The other one was Dorkwood, which like I was trying to think of a color, like I don't know. I kind of think of some kind of like a greenish, because it has wood, I guess, and then like a dork. So like, I don't know, light green or something.
What's a dorky color?
I don't know. What is a dorky color? You get like a pastel green.
Right. I think it's going to be a pastel. That I'm with you on the pastel. But I'm thinking more like you know those those dads that wear those. I mean, I don't mean to mean the dads are dork, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I know your dad. Sorry. What I'm trying to say is, those dorky dads that'll wear like those pale blue, what are those things called? Like tennis polo
like
shirt?
Like a
things?
Golf shirt?
Yeah, a golf shirt. Uh-huh. Not tennis.
You have a golf shirt, and then you have like khaki shorts, and then you have your like phone on like a clip, not in your pocket, but like clipped to the side because you could like
it's
whip it out
on.
Like it's like a gun.
Right.
Maybe a Bluetooth mic.
Totally. Yep. I stood behind one of these guys at the UPS store a couple days ago, and the best part of all of, like, he basically wore this outfit, you know, long socks, like tennis, white tennis shoes, etc. Mm-hmm. And then the ringtone for his phone was like some kind of strange like machine gun alarm. Like, it was extremely loud, totally inappropriate. Like, the entire store of the UPS store was like paused, like wondering where the hell this crazy, like, it sounded like a tsunami alarm system.
Very practical. Thank you, practical dad. Always ready.
I like it. I like how you just, you know, take the side of the dads. That's great. Good job.
Well, I mean, I feel like I have to have some, although I don't dress like that. Let's just make that absolutely clear to everyone who can't see me. I dress super, actually, I just like totally like I'm a 21-year-old dad.
I'll ask your daughter when she's like of speaking age. Well, I guess she's of speaking age now, if she thinks you dress really coolly or not.
No, I mean, I just literally, it's all startup t-shirts from the Techstars that both me and you were a part of, but we got all these t-shirts and you basically could never wear them, and I just turned them into my entire wardrobe. Even the Techstars hoodie, I've been wearing a lot of the Techstars. So basically, yeah, I look like just total, it's like the dev living out of his car.
We have a story. I don't think we have a story.
We're moving. Okay, well, fine. Anyway, Janelle is amazing. We love her. We want her on this podcast. We're going to do everything humanly possible to make that happen. You know, awesome. Please keep doing this because it's amazing. So back to the story. Janelle's back, and this time she has trained a neural network to predict ancient proverbs, which is why I thought you'd like this one.
Predict ancient? It's like a time back to the future type of situation.
Generate ancient proverbs. Predict what an ancient proverb would be, but like generate. So okay, this is what she did. She took 2,000 ancient proverbs, and like these proverbs, I actually had to look up what proverb is because I'm like totally uneducated. This a proverb is like a little saying, you know, like I don't know, like a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
I was gonna say that one.
Okay, that's the only one I know apparently. So okay, like these little nuggets of wisdom, like one liners of wisdom. So she trained a neural network, a recurrent neural network, in case anyone cares, to predict or generate new proverbs, which she calls. She doesn't call ancient proverbs. She actually calls ancient wisdom, which I like way better as a name, because it's some awesome combination of like the past and the future, and like if computers can combine them, what new wisdom will we get? Mm-hmm. So here we go, dear listener. This is the greatest piece of wisdom you'll ever receive, because it is I almost can guarantee this. It is the first piece of wisdom you have ever received from a machine. This is it. This is the only piece of wisdom you've ever received from a machine. There's a few, so we'll go with one. Okay. Here we go. A good wine makes the best sermon. I mean,
that's good.
That's really good. That's super good. That's legit.
Okay, is that like one good one out of like 17,000 like total ones that make no sense? Okay, got it. I get where this is going, but that one's really good. I might even use it. Like, I could just pass it off as, wait, if a machine said it, then who gets to take credit for that one? Like, you know how they say, like, Einstein says, or whatever somebody says.
That's a good point. I mean, it's kind of like, it's like when the monkey, so there was this news article about a monkey took a photograph, and there was a lawsuit of like who owned the photograph. Like, did the monkey own the photograph, or did the guy whose camera it was own the photograph? And can a monkey own something? Because like, I think someone used it because the monkey took it, thinking that like, well, a monkey took it, so you can't copy, you know, a monkey can't own. Anyway, I don't know who owns it. I would say Janelle owns it at this point, although she would probably take no credit for it because some of them get pretty weird. But that one was totally good. Yeah, that was totally awesome. Okay, here's another one. A good fear is never known till needed. I mean, that was deep. That was totally deep.
I need to think about that one. Yeah. I need the
glass of wine. A good fear is never known till needed. I can see that. That seems, you know.
I mean, how do you need fears? But maybe you do. Like, you need to be scared and then you won't jump off the cliff.
But you have, yeah, like a good fear. Like you didn't, you only need that thing that tells you that this is a bad idea.
Right.
Like, that's a good fear. Like, right. Yeah, there's probably bad fears out. I can't believe I'm like justifying this.
This but, is
like,
good. Now I'm liking it even more as you kind of expound.
Yeah. Okay. So that was cool. Then here's the next one. Death, when it comes, will have no sheep. Not sleep. Really?
Are you sure there wasn't a typo?
No. Okay, here we go. Death, when it comes, will have no sheep. And I...
That's a relief. Mm-hmm. Jesus. I was worried. At least that's one good thing about death.
It was a little bit off the rails there with that one. You know.
Right.
I'm not really... I can't really explain that one at all. But, you know, that was cool. And so she goes on. She has a bunch of these on her site. I just took a few. But this is actually my favorite part. So in the 2,000 ancient proverbs, I think there was like two or three phrases, the word oxen. So like the word oxen only appears like two or three times. But apparently the neural network, for some reason, got totally fixated on it. And basically like a significant number of them are just oxen related. So here we go. Okay. An ox is not to be given with a single stone.
Okay. That is really good to know. If I was living in like the ancient, I don't know where. Where's India? Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then this one might be familiar. An ox is never known till needed. You can see there's a little repeat in the pattern there. not too original.
Sounds familiar.
Fucking plagiarizing neural network.
Oh, that's hilarious. Just replace any word, like a phone charger is never known till needed.
Yep. Here we go. Last one. Here we go. An ox is silent for the gain of the bush. So anyway, she has no explanation of why ox were really like all over the place in this. But I think the greater point to this, rather than that being hilarious and amazing, is that we are so close right now.
This is close.
Well, yes. Okay. I mean, this is probably like 20 minutes for her, maybe like an afternoon for her to come up.
Oh,
with stuff.
I see what you mean by close. Okay, got it.
We're close to like if you took this ancient wisdom proverb thing and you really spent time on it and you had a team working on it and you had millions of dollars to build this out.
This sounds like so many of our startup ideas. All it needs is a millions of dollars and a team and an afternoon
and lots of. Lots of customers, probably.
Right.
Anyway, if someone can do this as like a little hobby, like this isn't her full-time job. This isn't even her main hobby. This is just some like random thing she makes blog posts about.
Right.
Like if someone can do this kind of stuff, we are like really close to this widespread generation of like semi-intelligent filler content everywhere.
I love it.
So, well, maybe you'll love it. So, like...
Well, no, I see the future because we're like the weirdo content SEO dork.
Oh, right. I know. I thought about that.
That sounds amazing. I totally want to create one for my own.
You know, it's actually really funny. This is a side note. So, in undergrad... So, both me and Vid have a background in like content sites. So, like sites that generate money by like having lots and lots of content on them. And I remember back... when I was making my site, which was during undergrad, there was this thing that you could buy for, it was like a program you could buy for like $350 that would write articles for you. And I thought this thing was so cool and I always wanted it. I never did buy it, but I always like really wanted it. And it was probably like just like a fucking Markov chain or something. I didn't really know anything with what that was at the time and that kind of stuff. But like that guy was selling a Markov chain for like a lot of money. But like you could absolutely see a case where someone could make like just as much content as they could possibly put out in the attempts that one of it sticks, and not good content, not useful recipes, not interesting things, but like imagine say you worked on it for a year and then you built this neural network that could write stories, like not great stories but just stories, but like an infinite amount of stories. And then you just make this story site with like books that people could buy that have like, you know, like you could have a million books that they could buy, all generated by, you know, like, or maybe a million short stories, 10 million short stories, whatever that people could buy. And like that would be super low cost for you. And 99.99% of the stories would be bullshit. But like a few of them would give you $10. And then all of a sudden,
we're like the spammers. This is basically the spammer mindset, just saying.
No, I agree. It annoys me as a user. Like, I mean, it intrigues me as a businessman, but it annoys me as a user.
Tell me more.
Because there's like, it just creates like so much noise. Because basically your idea is that like, you're like, oh, I'll just fling a bunch of ideas against the wall and see what sticks.
Right.
I'm the person you're flinging them against. I'm like the asshole who's like sitting there like with 10, you know, like every single time I try to find a book on Amazon now, there's like a billion mini self-published books that a lot of them are real trash. And like I now have actually started looking at the publisher's name to see if it's like it'll be a good book if the publisher's good, because I can't tell if this book is actually, like I've actually bought some books about deep learning that were like not real books. They were like blog posts with very creative formatting and some and they had like 10 reviews, and like I'm suspecting that all the reviews were his friends or fake accounts or something. But like I bought that book, and so now he's thinking, oh, this is great. I should just like pound out these books like crazy.
Right.
Anyway, all I'm saying is we'll see way, I think like back when me and you were doing content stuff, there was this phrase that I'm sure you lived by and I lived by, which was content was king. Content was king.
Yeah.
I said that 1,000 times. And now right. We're really getting to the point where content is like definitely not king, because it's so easy
it's
to generate.
Kind of trashy. Yeah.
Yeah, you can generate.
Then remember, that was like the whole curation thing. And I wonder if that's actually kind of like maybe the next step is, what if we have some other AI that like filters through all of this AI junk and actually pulls out the good stuff? Like if there was something that you could sick on even just these proverbs, these wisdom, these pieces of wisdom, mm-hmm, and say, mm-hmm, pick the good ones and show me the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
And how we would determine what a good one is. Wow,
that's an interesting idea. You could actually do like a supervised learning where you had humans go through and rate,
mm-hmm,
them.
Right.
And then you could have it try to, you could basically train it to pick good ones.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Clever. And then, and a good one would be like funny and then actually useful. And then, you know, it could be good in a way that it isn't actually meaningful. You know?
Yeah. Oh man, you know what you could do? You could, sorry, now we're just like brainstorming companies on the recording. But you know what you could do? Like, I think writing a story would be way more difficult. And like, I know Automated Insights writes articles like about baseball games. They basically take baseball game stats, like high school baseball games, and write full articles about them, just, mm-hmm, automated. But like, I wonder if you could do like, what are they called? Like holiday cards. Like birthday cards and stuff, mm-hmm, like that, because they all have like creative little witty things as, mm-hmm, if they were little gems of wisdom, like only like 10, you know, like 10 words or something like that.
Yeah. And or fortune could, cookies.
Or, well, people buy, I'm saying people buy holiday cards. No one buys fortune cookies.
They would if they were like hilarious and filled with things like the ox is silent for the gain of the bush.
A machine learning fortune card. This is it. This is the $1 billion
this is our
idea.
Next big thing. Why are we telling everybody in the world though?
That's a good point. We're gonna cut this out and make a neural network driven fortune card. Whatever.
Oh God.
That's so
okay.
Stupid.
That's awesome. Janelle is the best.
Yeah. Seriously. Thanks, Janelle. Love you.
You know we love you a lot. We should have like a little Janelle. Like I wish we had the sound bites. Can we like go back to the radio world and do some cool things like that?
Like we have like a soundboard and stuff like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and we could like have like cheering, or we could have whatever. Happy. You know? We could have like Snoop Dogg saying things.
That seems like copyright infringement.
Well, all right, fine, Mr. Content is King. I'm sure you. Okay. Anyway, let's move on to my story. Are you done with your story?
Yep, I'm done.
Okay. So my story is not as entertaining, but hopefully will be as inspiring as it was for me. So let me give a little bit of a backstory. One of those weird, intimate, personal things that reveal way too much embarrassing information about the inner workings of my brain is my list of IFTTT recipes. Okay? And apparently they're not called recipes anymore, but whatever. I'm going to call them recipes. And first of all, before you know, we move on, let me tell you what IFTTT is. It stands for if this, then that. And that is one of the earliest concepts we were taught in computer science school, that if statement. Nostalgia aside, though, this web app actually does that. It lets you connect tons of other web services together in a structure of an if statement. For example, if X, someone posts the sale of vintage navy overalls on Craigslist on the, mm-hmm, West Coast.
It's mine too.
Then text me a link to the posting immediately. Oh, I forgot to say U.S. Navy government issued overalls. Like, these are the ridiculous types of things I have on my thing. Another one.
Vintage U.S. Navy government overalls on Craigslist?
Yes.
Wow.
I know. This is what I mean by embarrassing. Like, I like picked one that was like not kind of embarrassing and kind of revealing, but not too crazy. Like, I love these things. They're extremely comfortable and kind of ridiculous. I look like a painter walking around, but I wear them all the time. But I get to like do, you know, because I live up in the woods and I get to like do stuff in the yard and go and do, you know, physical things and not be dirty.
Quote,
anyway,
unquote, get to. I get to shovel snow. I get to clear brush.
It actually is lovely. But if this and that is awesome because of this type of thing. I mean, there's other ones that are more useful. Like if I get any invoices or payment emails in my email, in Gmail, then it'll automatically make a copy of it and then add it to my Dropbox.
Oh, that's smart. I should do that. That's cool.
It's so helpful. Yeah. So it essentially lets create these little scripts that connects hundreds of these services together, like Dropbox and Gmail, Slack, Spotify. There's like infinity of them. And you don't you don't really, like, it kind of like doesn't matter if you know anything about programming. Like, it's not at all required that you know any code. You don't have to be a computer science person. It's all drag and drop. It's like lovely little cartoony images. It's like super easy to use. And since 2011, I've gotten so much use out of this service. Like, I've actually gone on some ridiculous adventures sparked by this thing. Like, seriously, real life stuff has happened because of this.
So I mean, look at all the vintage US jeans that you've acquired.
Right. Kind of. Like, so there was this one time we were notified about a very specific vintage Rhodes piano that was posted up for sale outside of Reno somewhere, like way out in Nevada. And we had to go, and we lived in Portland at the time, so we had to go and pick it up and bring it back within 24 hours before like some other guy got to it. So it was like a race to run.
Wow.
And then If This Then That emailed my husband the moment that this Rhodes got posted, so we had like the craziest, weirdest road trip ever to get it before someone else got to it. So it was awesome. And then there was this other time I scoped this epic cabin right on the cliffs in Muir Woods in the Bay Area for a weekend, because I was notified the moment someone canceled their reservation on a Google Doc. So like,
oh wow,
man, yeah.
You were like, you are really, I think I have like one IFTTT, which is like, it, I think it sends the weight from my scale to a Google document.
Oh, that's good.
But my, yeah, but my scale is also Wi-Fi connected, so it already sends it to its own CSV file. It really, I'm not sure why I did that, but sure, fuck it.
Dude, you gotta go back. There's like infinity amazing things. And today, IFTTT continues to steal my heart with their latest announcement regarding their data access project. And I should probably stop, I think they like rebranded to just IF, because it's just cooler than that. Cooler.
Yeah, I actually never could remember what they were. I was always like IFTTFF.
Like, yeah, no, I just say If This Then That. Just is easier. But now, as of I think today or this week or something, they've got hundreds of new open data sources from various government and citizen agencies that release data for public good, which is amazing. Like, I've had more than a few chances in my life to get a pretty intimate view into the government open data initiatives. And there are always new sources made, quote, public every single day, which is awesome.
Didn't you work in the White House on public open data initiatives? So
right.
You have like, you know, some, I mean, just, you know, some experience. Sure.
A little bit, just a little view into this world. And honestly, one of the biggest challenges is it's like this, you know, supply demand problem where like, even if we increase supply of open data, it's still really difficult for a regular person to access, analyze, or really get any value out of this data. Like, how would it be even relevant? And if it's unusable by the regular person, it's really hard to show the value of this data, and then even harder to then create a demand for it. And for those people working like full time in this, on this problem, demand for open data is one of those big critical barriers. And that's what makes this If This and That service so exciting. Because if more demand is created for open data, it sort of is this pull that will inspire people within government to continue to do the work that they've been doing as far as releasing data for both transparency but also for actual use out of, you know, out of things for the people. People in the government can't always imagine how this data could be used by the citizens until they release it. And when they release it, if people can't actually get to it or use it, they'll still never know how useful it is. And so there's less of a motivation for them to kind of continue to invest in that process. So anyway, this moment is huge because If This Then That service makes it really easy for regular people who don't have to learn any code and don't have to like figure out anything with APIs or anything to be able to access lots of different government agencies' open data streams. You know, this is like maybe a little geek, you know, kind of eccentric geek side of things, but the stuff that you get to do out of this now, they've created a bunch of recipes already, are really cool. So for example, one thing you can do is if you're in Toronto, you could get an alert sent to your family when there's a delay on your evening commuter, like TTC train. That's crazy. It's like being
That's
on the
BART. Cool. Legit.
And you're late, and then your like wife gets a text like, oh yeah, the thing's getting late. That's freaking awesome. Then there's one where you can get an email when there's a new grant that mentions your state or your city.
Okay.
Dude.
I mean, that's not that amazing. I mean, come on, like the first one, super cool. A grant, isn't there going to be like a grant that, like, I don't know, for a new chemical something something, and like, I don't do chemistry?
Well, you might be able to filter it, but honestly, knowing when grants are available is a freaking hard problem. Like, it's really hard because you have to go keep monitoring these weird websites, and then and it's impossible to actually find out. Like, they're not going to be releasing hundreds of grants every day. So if you are just fleetly kind of skimming them, or oftentimes companies have somebody who's assigned to kind of monitor these things, like that's their mm-hmm. full-time job. They can pretty quickly skim through and stay on top of it. Usually, you know, companies have this sense of like, who knows what opportunity is out there, and we won't even know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see. I retract my critique. I think that's legit.
Yeah, it's awesome. And the fact that like any person can just go sign up for it and do it, and they don't even have to be like one of the techies on the team. Like, that's awesome. Another cool thing, I love this one, is you can automatically create a GitHub issue when there's a new vulnerability published by the National Vulnerability Database.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome? It just like goes straight in. So, and then, this I love, which is, I mean, it might be kind of super dorky, but you can get a notification when the USDA posts an open recall due to allergens regarding a particular food or whatever it is.
Oh.
And that's huge just because of people's health, etc. But also because I've spent my first like formative years in a company trying to like tell the American public about recalls, and mm-hmm. it's actually really difficult to know and to be able to get that information out from the government to people. And so, like, being able to get a notification like this around recalls from the USDA is humongous and totally helpful. And hopefully other agencies can, you know, follow suit, and other people can create apps or something around it that helps. Then it just gets getting really cool. Like, when there's a new skin cancer clinical trial, you can get a notification. Like,
oh, wow.
I mean, there's hundreds of these types of things, and I just picked off some cool ones. But it just is, like, a kind of a game changer when it comes to bringing people who are just trying to live their lives and get through their days more access, more empowerment, and more ability to like stay on top of things that affects them, that are things that are happening within the government.
Now, I like this for actually like a similar reason, which is, just for one second, imagine me getting on a soapbox right now, just so I can start my
oh god
my
okay
okay I have made a huge amount of analytics and dashboards for people, right? Like thousands of like little charts for people to look at and monitor how their app is doing, or how the price is doing, or some sales is doing, or you know, like that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And I have slowly over time developed this belief that so much of that is useless, because no one cares that things are kind of in the average, but they really care when there's an event, when there's like an outlier. And I have started, when I make these now, I've started thinking that the most important part is actually the alert emails, or like I typically do like a daily email with like, this is weird. So like, if all the sales have been kind of the same for the last month and then it drops 50%, you get an email, or it raises 50%, you get an email, like, because something is there, right? Like, or if a device doesn't show up for a while, like, you get an email, or you know, like, or there's like way more users or way less users or anything like that. Is that's the stuff that people need to deal with, and that's the stuff that people care about. And I have started to realize that, like, although it's not sexy, just an email that gets sent to them with like the weird parts, the outlier parts, the interesting peaks and drops, rather than the nuances of the curve over the last month, which like people want that because they want to put that in a presentation and sort of maybe slow an upward slope. But like, really what you care about on a day-to-day basis is like an event. And I have signed up to a lot of, where I live now, there isn't really services, but I've definitely signed up to services where if there's a crime within a mile of your house, you get an email. Like, that's, I had that in Baltimore, and it was great because every single time there was a crime, I would like see what kind of crime is. And I kind of had like, over time, I would have my own feel for like what is happening and what's not, and like how dangerous is the neighborhood that I just moved to. and things like recall and stuff, like, you don't care that, like, there's 42% of whatever, 0.0042% of products are being recalled right. for. But you really care if yeah. a certain product is recalled. Like it's an outlier to you that a product that you have is, recalled. So you get, an email. I actually really think that that's the most important part, or the most useful part of analytics for, yeah. for people in business or organizations, rather than, another fucking... line chart or something, which totally. People like, but I like those. And so this is exactly that, just for government data, because I don't care about the trend of I don't care about the trend of the national vulnerability database, like whether right. it's going more or less bugs, but or vulnerabilities, but I really care if it relates to me. And so if I could get an email for that, I can actually act on it, which is cool, right? You don't care about yeah. the number of new grants nationally, but you can right. really care about a grant that happens in your local town. Those right. kind of personalized stuff, you don't need a dashboard for it, but it an email will do, or a text message or something. If it's it's super intense, you want a text message, but that stuff has been, I really believe that is the better way of doing analytics.
Yeah.
Despite the fact I still make tons of dashboards, but
I know it's funny, right? It's kind of, there's this whole perception to reality thing too, because people feel like they want dashboards mm-hmm. and it makes them feel good, or it makes them feel like something's happening and they can show people that something's happening. But at the end of the day, their decisions oftentimes are based on these specific moments and specific high points and low points. It's actually something that I found in talking to the business end of the data world, where when you say, well, what do you want to see? What kind of information is important to you? They can't really answer that. I mean, and so we're kind of guessing and starting and figuring it out and going through this evolved process where we show them a set of dashboards that then can be useful to them. But if we say, what are the things that you need to know about when they're happening? Or what are some things that are important or urgent situations? Those are actually really easy for them to tell you, a list of those things. When if sales is dropping by more than, X rate, or if the, servers are being, accessed more frequently every day than whatever. There are certain things that they can tell you are important to them in a really clear way. And then sending alerts or setting up these alerts, I think, is really the next step to that. But honestly, I don't think we can really get away from the visualization of a lot of this stuff, because it makes people feel safer about this unknown giant database of digits and numbers and cells and records. Having a view into anything makes them feel like they can kind of understand it a little bit, and that decreases the fear. So I think that you kind of can't get away from those dashboards, but I do think that setting those alerts this thing is doing is super key, super money. And what's awesome is if this and that is doing that with not just sending you text messages or emails, but do you want it to turn into a Zendesk ticket through your Slack? Sure. It's actually going to try to fit into your existing workflows, which is so awesome. And that's why I love it, because, with my little nuclear family, the two of us can get a lot done through If This and That. It's odd, but we'll set up things that work between the two of us. If something happens that I trigger, then he'll get a note, or he'll get a task or whatever it is.
Well, that's amazing, by the
way. It's pretty awesome.
Just as a way of managing your relationship. Yeah. But I totally agree. I think this kind of stuff is cool. I think it's my general point is that it's just way more useful to get a notification about something that is important than a general trend of things. Because I think general mm-hmm. trends typically, one, they're too aggregate to really do a lot, but also because they're really aggregated out, you get lulled into a false sense of security because they're super robust. If you own a store and you're looking at your sales, your sales might be going up or might be going down, but they're going up or down pretty slowly, because there isn't some massive jump in sales. Typically, right? Your store is just selling things. Everything's fine. It's seasonal, whatever. And so you get into this lull, this false sense of security that you don't need to check it every day because mm-hmm. you don't. And then all of a sudden your sales are down. I mean, if you're in the store, it might be different, but your sales are down in the store 40% or 50% in the last 2 days. And why? You really want to know why at that point, mm-hmm. as opposed to just things are going like they're always going.
Right.
I've just found that people, decision makers, a lot of time when you give them these dashboards, they look at it a few times and then kind of like assume that they know is what is going to be in it the next day. Like, this line is just going to continue this trend. We're cool. And then they like, and then months go by with them ever actually checking it, because they sort of understood the pathway. Like, they sort of predicted where it was going to go mentally and just was like, okay, cool. We're growing at a steady, slow rate. Great. That's fine. And then all of a sudden they're not, right? They're exploding or they're crumbling.
Right.
And there's no like, there's no alert to tell them that things are really different now than they were before.
Right. Totally. And even alerts to like signals beforehand, you know, like here are some tells, some, that's just the predictive stuff, but like here are some tells before the spike happens.
Yep. Totally.
Cool
so
stuff.
That is cool. I will go look on there and see if there's anything. Because the one thing I'll say about living in like a small town is that everything's super local. So like, if there actually was a grant for my city, it would be like my neighbor would get the grant.
Right. Or you, because it's so.
Or sure. Me.
Competition is small.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Awesome job, whatever you have renamed yourself to. IFTTT.
I think they're just called IF now.
All right. Good job, IF.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well, that is the show for this week. If you liked the highly educational discussion that you just heard, rate and review us on iTunes with your favorite ancient proverb. And I guess it helps us out. Honestly, like, not many people write reviews on our iTunes. So I actually have no idea what it does. I'm just going to say that out front. No idea what it does. But if you feel like it, I actually do read them. So if you really want to, like, say it sucks, like, I do actually read that. Or if you don't want to use the iTunes to get in contact with us, I'm so old. You can talk to me on Twitter. I am at Chris Alvin. Vid is vid_spandana. Jonathan, who is coming back, he's just actually busy with stuff. We haven't like banned him from the podcast or something. You can bother Jonathan about why he isn't appearing on podcasts at Jonathan Morgan. You can reach all of us on Twitter at partiallyd. Have a great week, all.
Bye.